Hey everyone, it's Matt.
And this is Lucas.
And this is Thanks for Playing,
the podcast where we break down the most iconic video games the world has to offer.
Oh! Woo! Lucas, I gotta say, this was the first time in the intro you looked at the camera when you said it.
I've been doing it lately.
It was intense. I felt like I was in your apartment for a sec there.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
I'm looking right at you guys while I'm talking now.
I know. I feel like I'm having a conversation. Yeah. Damn.
Making me nervous.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Hey! Who the wait, do we have a new voice?
I don't know.
I think we do.
I just found an unrecognizable voice.
We are joined by MC Fried, a.k.a. Figgy, a.k.a. Abel.
Hell yeah.
What the fuck is up, Abel?
Hello, guys. Hello. Happy to be here.
Newest addition to the contributors.
Yeah. So, backstory here, some lore. Abel has been a longtime listener, friend of the podcast. MC Fried in the Discord. You guys see him commenting and jumping into the threads basically every single day. Yeah. And Abel is also a official contributor to TFB. He's actually written an article for us in the past.
Just one
on MLB The Show. On MLB The Show, like 23, so it's like a pretty old article.
Yeah.
Hopefully you could write us an article on MLB The Show 24 here pretty soon.
We'll see.
But yeah, we wanted to officially onboard MC Fried / Abel here to the contributor recording group. He's got his nice PC. He's going to start streaming some MLB The Show for us as well. Going to go viral with some home run hits. Is that right?
We'll see. Yeah. I just wanted to say thank you to Lucas for really helping me out and getting the setup ready to go, and this wouldn't have been possible without you, dude, so thank you. And
thank you.
Just really excited
shut
to be
the
here.
Fuck up.
No, hang on,
we don't
give Lucas props here.
Wait, are you serious?
I actually gave him my old gaming PC so he can get set up there.
I drove it all the way.
That's how much I put the skin on the line, boys.
Yeah. And I had to drive it all the way from LA to San Diego, and it was like a 4-hour drive in Friday evening traffic. So it was worth it, though.
Yeah.
It was worth
it. You did it on a free Friday?
That's terrible. That is company property, by the way. So
yeah, it is.
At a certain point, it does have to come back to
it might be a little crusty already. So
okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm glad. Abel, what's your favorite game?
So I kind of prepared for this question a little bit. So obviously my favorite game right now is MLB The Show. I've been playing that game pretty steadily the last 3 years, ever since Xbox got it on Game Pass. I played it maybe like 10 years ago a lot. So it's been nice to kind of revisit that, and honestly it sucked me right back in, and it's really the only game I play for the most part all year round. I do have to give a couple honorable mentions as far as my favorite games go. You know, Elden Ring is probably my favorite single player game of all time. That's like the best game I've ever experienced ever, and I wish I could play it again for the first time. Resident Evil, I just actually played the Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil 3 remakes and completely blown away by that. I'm really excited to hit Resident Evil 4. And then I actually have, you know, a lot of background with fighting games and the fighting game community. You know, Lucas, I think a lot of us in here played, you know, Super Smash Brothers a lot when we were younger. So, yeah, I mean, that just about does it. A lot of video games that I like, so yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. And you know ball. That's like your main identifying quality.
Depends
right?
What kind of balls we're talking about. But yes, I do know ball. I'm a sports guy.
Japanese ones.
Yeah. Primarily, I'm a sports guy. Primarily baseball. I love football, though. Soccer. I'm kind of iffy on basketball. Like, I'll listen to a bunch of podcasts about basketball, but I won't watch a lick of it until, you know, the playoffs. But yeah, primarily a sports guy for sure.
Cool. Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, speaking of soccer, I do got a shout out. USA beat Mexico 2-0 yesterday in the CONCACAF Nations League. Abel, I know you didn't have a chance to watch it. Chambers, did you?
Nah, dude. I knew we were going to win.
Did you see Tyler Adams' first goal?
What?
Did you see any of the goals?
No, I didn't.
Dude, Tyler Adams scored like a banger from like 35 yards out. It was insane.
Oh, really?
I saw our boy
Gio scored. So
Gio scored too, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that one. I saw the second one.
Reyna?
Yeah.
My guy.
Yeah. Reyna, baby. Yeah, yeah, the guy. Is. We all know Reyna. We know what he's
capable of.
What he's
about.
Yeah. He knows ball.
But super sick game to watch, super fun. And we are on like a 3-year unbeaten streak against Mexico now, which is pretty sick. And then they haven't scored on us in a competitive match since 2021. So
just rub it in.
That's crazy.
Just rub it in.
I will. I would expect the opposite.
I'm half white, half Mexican, so I don't know who I should be rooting for.
Mickey, for once in your life, you're really far from the mic, and it's hard to hear you. So you kind of got it. I'm going to turn you up a little bit.
That's a first. Okay, no, I turned myself up.
Okay, I think we're good.
Okay.
Wait, Chambers is also half white, half Mexican.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And I was not born in Mexico. I'm pretty whitewashed, so I'm not gonna pretend.
You will not like claim it.
Yeah, no. I was definitely pretending. No,
I don't speak.
That's funny because I'm pretending. I'm very whitewashed.
Yeah.
I'm
hell yeah.
You're not white. Hey, you're from Pomona, bro.
I am from Pomona. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
So am I, but I don't really watch soccer. Yeah. Anyway, shall we get to the topics?
Let's do it.
Okay. We got a full group here today, so we're probably going to have one or two. We'll go around the horn a little bit and see how many we get in. But who wants to start us off here? What do we got to talk about?
I got one I want to get off the bat, just a big question to ask everyone. I saw just, I think a few hours ago, there was a headline released basically Bethesda saying that their early builds of Elder Scrolls 6 are now playable. And it has like a potential 2028 release date. Where are we at with
Bethesda? Care?
Do we care? I saw that and I couldn't decide because, I mean, Skyrim, I think everyone here probably touched Skyrim at one point or another. Maybe not Mickey. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you did. But Skyrim was an incredible experience. Really great game. A lot of fun. Obviously, you know, more recently with a game like games like Fallout 4, which definitely did not live up to its predecessor, or Fallout 3, Starfield, which was, you know, just hot shit. You know, I think Bethesda's kind of been in, you know, down and dirty lately. And do we think they can recover?
Yeah,
do we
I want to go first.
We want them to recover.
I want to go first.
Go.
Bethesda has not been good for like a full decade at this point. Like a full decade, which is kind of crazy to think. Mm-hmm. Like they were quite literally on top of the world two generations ago. Like I remember playing on my Xbox 360, Fallout 3, one of the greatest games ever. Like Fallout New Vegas on PC a couple years later, amazing.
Fallout New Vegas was Obsidian. Bethesda just published.
Okay, well, IPs. Let's just say Bethesda IPs and whatnot. And then Skyrim, of course, is great. I actually never beat Skyrim, but I played quite a bit of it, and you know, obviously it has a lasting legacy. But they're like 0-3 in the last like several games. Fallout 4 was pretty much a letdown to Fallout fans. And then Starfield, not good. Fallout 76, also not good. So they basically have like struck out completely. A lot of gonna try and use a lot of baseball metaphors here today because Abel's on. They have struck out.
Yeah.
So I tried Starfield last year for like 25 minutes. I just could not do it.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
Do you want to see them do better, or you think they're just out? Do you think they would need to drastically rehaul their formula? Like, what needs to be done for, you know, Fallout 5, Elder Scrolls 6 to not be dog shit?
For me personally, I think that they need to catch up with like what a lot of open world games are able to do these days. If you take like Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, just as quick examples, like their niche is insane verticality, tons of customization, like a fully like chemically, physically like in tune world. Everything has like weight to it. Everything has physics to it. It's like truly feels like you're playing in a really cool sandbox. Or you can go with like the Ghost of Tsushima route of an open world game where it's like just absolutely a technical marvel, completely stunning, great cinematics, great visuals, and just a solid open world game. Like they have to kind of go and find a lane that works for them. They can't just rely on like, oh, let's make a sandboxy moddy game where like people could just get janky with it and we could just, it'll be funny, right? Like, that's like, I feel like what a lot of like the narrative was around Starfield, and it's kind of didn't really serve them really well. Cause like, I remember reading comments a lot on like TikTok, Reddit, whatever, just like, oh man, the modders are going to fix Starfield. Don't worry. It's like, we got to get out of that, guys. We can't rely on that. They hit into a double play.
Yeah.
Right there.
I honestly think a lot of their problems could be, well, one, I think one of the biggest things that worked against them in Starfield was the fact that the game was inherently so disjointed with the amount of loading screens, just by virtue of it's a space game. You visit a lot of different worlds, so you're constantly going back and forth. And I think they put too much emphasis or put too much weight on how much people would enjoy the like procedural generation basically in the game of all like the new worlds you could experience and things like that. So I think if the kind of get away from that, like obviously Elder Scrolls is, you know, like medieval fantasy, it'll all be set in like one, assuming it'll all be set in like one world, one map, give or take, you know, just focus on like condensing that world and making it jam packed with like really good characters like that you can, you know, walk to and traverse like a beautiful area. I think if they do that, and then I think the other big thing they need to do is fix how it is when you talk to an NPC. Like it should be a like a fluid.
It's got to stop being like this. Like,
yeah, where like, you're just staring like at the camera and like it's static and they make like non-human facial expressions. I don't know, like if you would just call it
like Chamber's face right now.
It's yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
He's a total, but
I'm an NPC.
Yeah.
But like the best example is like when you look at a game like Cyberpunk versus Fallout, you know, like for all its crap when it came out, like Cyberpunk is a very good game now objectively. And like I think if they can just copy some of that a bit as far as like how the, you know, the cameras work and cutscenes and like in dialogue and make it more, you know, fluid, I think that'll
help. Do you have actually any faith that any of that will happen?
No. But I needed a topic, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Mickey, as the biggest Bethesda fan here, how do you feel about this?
What makes me the biggest Bethesda fan? In fact, I'm probably like the furthest away from a Bethesda fan.
Are you going to check out the Skyrim 6 anime?
No.
Okay. Actually, Chambers, to answer your question, I do think they will be smarter about like making the world more interesting than Starfield was, as far as like making it a smoother like
yeah, gameplay. There's already lore to that world, so yeah. it's will be better in that form.
Yeah, I don't see them really fixing like their like facial animations.
No.
Unless they do like a complete overhaul of everything they've done previously.
Yeah. Okay.
Abel?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know ball when it comes to Bethesda, but like I said, I tried to play Starfield last year and kind of like as an outsider, it didn't appeal to me whatsoever. And I think once, you know, if a game can't appeal to an outsider, I don't know who it really can appeal
Why,
to.
Why, what do you think like made an open world game like Elden Ring get its hooks in you versus a game like Starfield not get its hooks in you?
That's really interesting. Honestly, I think it's just like the care that, you know, that FromSoft took with Elden Ring. Like you could tell the second you started it, just the lore, the art, you know, just the, that's the tutorials that you experience when you first start the game up. It's just something that just like really grabs you. And like when Starfield tried that, I just got so bored so quick. Like as soon as we got into that, the cockpits, like fly the aircraft or the spacecraft or whatever, I was just turned off. I just started playing MLB 23. So,
never actually seen gameplay footage of it, but how I imagine is like Starfield is massive, but there's just like a lot of empty space essentially.
Yeah.
So like you have to like do a lot of movement in order to get to the next
action. I think the problem is it's basically what No Man's Sky was when it came out, mm-hmm. and they've made no efforts to fix it. Because No Man's Sky is another game like similar to Cyberpunk that was infamously very poorly received when it came out, but now is like very well loved by the community.
Right.
But Chambers, you put in like what 10 hours into Starfield, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Were there any redeeming qualities? Am I off the mark with like, or any of us off the mark with our criticism?
It was pretty bad. Like even.
Damn.
I remember I had to like mod it to take off like visual filters that it had on every world because it was just so annoying to look at. It had all the boring, like dated Bethesda things about it, and there were just weren't any compelling characters. I think you need to have some fucking compelling character with how much talking you're doing to people, but it didn't even have that. And I think, it's kind of reflective of the company itself. It's a very like bloated, overmanaged, giant company owned by a bloated, overmanaged, giant company in Microsoft. So it's like these games are all like reflections of the people creating them. And so like, it makes sense that, you know, other open worlds are not like this.
So you're telling me we shouldn't let Microsoft buy Nintendo?
No, no, we should not.
God damn it. I think Chambers actually hitting on something that I think is really important too, which is that like by trying to appeal to everybody, you kind of appeal to nobody type of thing.
Yeah.
Like if everybody likes your game, but nobody loves it or hates it, then it's kind of doomed from the start. And I think like Bethesda as like the premier last gen, like our previous gen, like open world kind of master, they've still relied on a lot of their old tricks. Like they've established a lot of things in open world games. They've like given us a lot with Skyrim and Fallout 3. And, you know, other games have just figured out how to do it a little bit better. So I think what Bethesda has been trying to do, or at least what they were attempting to do with Starfield, was just like do this mass appeal, huge marketed kind of product that just ended up becoming like a very shallow, like really widespread, like as wide as an ocean, but as deep as the pond type of thing. And I think like Chambers hit it for me. That reminds me of like a lot of game design that I don't really like, as opposed to Elden Ring, which is just like being so carefully crafted and then like irrevocably hard. Like, hey, we believe in you. This is a niche. Beat the game kind of thing. And I think like players are starting to get that sort of appeal a lot more these days.
Damn. All right, moving on. Well, real quick, actually, this is a quick one, not gaming related, but kind of relative to us as a media company. I don't know if any of you heard, just today, Governor Ron DeSantis, Florida governor,
Ronnie,
signed.
I don't know where you're going with this.
Yeah, this is a wild ride.
Signed a bill for Florida that would ban anyone under the age of 14 from having a social media account.
Oh,
he kind of cooked.
I'm with it. Yeah. You know, did he come with it?
My first reaction was,
wait, what about Zigazoo? Can they have a Zigazoo account, Matt?
What the fuck is a Zigazoo?
Now, I gotta
Zigazoo,
say,
the premier social media network for kids.
Oh my God.
No commenting allowed.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah. Am I the only one getting Zigazoo ads?
Yeah.
I'm not getting ads for that, bro.
We need to check your hard drive.
This is the first time hearing of it.
I'm a little nervous about why are you getting...
I get them on when I listen to Stuff You Should Know. Clearly, no one here is enlightened enough to listen to that podcast.
Oh, I thought... I assumed it was like a targeted ad.
It's probably because Stuff You Should Know is probably listened to by mostly people that are parental age. Yeah.
Yeah. So something further. Yeah.
NPCs.
Okay. Sorry, I've derailed the conversation.
But no, I mean, see, I actually, when I first read that, I was like, man, that is like the stupidest thing I've like heard. And then I thought about it for a couple of minutes. I was like, you know, I think he cooked.
Yeah, this guy should run for president.
That's kind of sick. I think he cooked.
People
this is like the Onion article.
Like I'm not a fan of it, but I agree.
Wait, this is a real thing. This is not...
It's
like the Onion article. It says when the worst person you know makes a good point.
Yes,
this is
absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, this is a real thing that is. He signed in. I don't know the exact semantics. I heard it could potentially like the bill could maybe face more legal challenges again. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. We'll have to call in Connor. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm sure there's going to be obviously a lot of workarounds. I don't know what kind of restrictions they could put in place other than like ask, you know, I don't know how they would enforce it, but I mean, like in the principle of it, I don't hate it. I really don't.
Yeah.
I like the idea, but it's completely unenforceable.
If I was 12 and I saw this, I'd like, you know, I would I would shut my door and just start flipping off into the air.
Like this doesn't like, I mean, is the idea that we don't want people at too young of an age to be like online and perceived and potentially like put in danger?
I mean, I like it because, like, you know, there's like so much, you know, could I cite one right now? No, but I know there's a shit ton of like studies out there and research that show that basically, you know, social media is only negatively only negatively impacted us for like every aspect from like how we develop socially, how we make, like everything like that. Like we're lonelier than we are, all that stuff, right? Lonelier than ever been, everything. So like, I fundamentally like don't think it's a bad idea to, you know, like censor people from that to a certain age and then like let them naturally get introduced to it rather than having it just like force fed to them, you know, from like a young age, you know? I mean, honestly, it's kind of like, actually, no, never mind. I was going to get into, never mind. But,
what were you gonna say, man?
Well, I was just gonna say like that's kind of like how I think about religion too. Is like I think like, you know, and I don't think anything should be forced down someone's throat, but like I think you should have a general idea that it's there, and then like when you're at like an age where you can really understand what it is, like, you know, explore like whichever interests you, you know, like explore, you know, Catholicism, Christianity and its various branches, you know, Judaism, like whatever, right? Muslim, all of it, like, but yeah. I think it's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
You know,
okay. Official statement from me ready to come out. right. Yeah, like I said, I mean, I think like I do like it in principle. I mean, we like bar young people from participating in certain forms of media. I mean, we have age ratings on television, movies, video games, I mean, everything, right? In a broader sense, I think it is important to keep like children away from most media that exists these days. I mean, unrestricted access to the internet in general, it's probably not a good idea for people of like under 18. Like the internet is a really messed up place. And even there's stuff that no one should be looking at on the internet that's very accessible all the time.
Yeah.
That being said, I think that it's probably a smarter thing to try to what DeSantis is trying to do should probably be done at like a higher level, like tackling and tasking social media companies to create completely kid friendly algorithms or something like that. Like trying to, like, there's already YouTube Kids, right? Which is like a place that YouTube has created and sectioned off to say, hey, here's where all the children's content lives. And if you're here, then your kid is safe. They've had their scandals in the past, but the idea is sort of there, like, of what I'm talking about, where like you're trying to kind of create a safe space on the internet for your child. So download Zigazoo today with a, you know, free trial and a coupon code. So I think that it's probably a better idea to think about things in terms of like a blanket, like, hey, let's try and ask Silicon Valley to create safe spaces on TikTok, or like make it so that there's more kid oriented algorithms out there. So your kid has no chance of seeing like the Ukraine war footage on TikTok that I see. But also like, and I say that because what DeSantis is trying to do for the state of Florida is essentially unenforceable. I mean, where's the line? Can the kid go on YouTube? What about those kids on YouTube that review toys that all the creeps watch, right? Like, could those kids even make those kinds of channels anymore? Could other kids watch those? Like, could the people that get like famous on, you know, like now, like certain like types of content creators, can they not feature their kids? You know, it's like certain things can get a little bit muddy. And I don't know, I think it can get a, like, you run into some weird definitions and weird lines that you have to end up drawing when you just say 14 or under can't do X, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then like, how do you punish them? Like if they do,
yeah,
like,
they're getting
like,
fined. Well,
like how do you punish them? Like, do you find straight children? Do you find the parents? Well, if they don't have parents, like we don't have,
they have to play Fortnite for a month straight in the room.
I think to your point, Lucas, I think that's a separate problem that I, at least not what I was getting at from like why I think it what we see online is like oftentimes awful. I do agree with that. I think I was more so looking at it from the perspective of the like just being online less, you know, like forcing more actual,
well, everyone should be offline, probably online,
like a net good, but we're not, like we all say that, but we're not, you know?
yeah
it's fucking awesome.
And I would also like to give a disclaimer and I think I speak for everyone on this podcast. None of us are fans of Ron DeSantis. We don't think he's a good person or his policies.
No.
Yeah. So
cool. Disavowed.
Ron.
Yeah.
My biggest question was, why did Ron decide 14? That's a weird.
That's a weird age. To cut that's off. Like the age, like, that like.
Yeah, he's just like 13 when they like make a.
I remember so much like cyberbullying, like early high school, 15, 16. Like that's prime cyberbullying years.
Yeah.
So is he trying to stop cyberbullying?
I mean,
that's what I think.
Also,
like, I mean, it's I impression. So. He's trying to stop high schooler. It's like 14 is the age.
Also,
that high school.
That's when I saw the most fucked up internet videos, was like age 15 through 17.
Yeah.
Oh, like ISIS was big. I'm not going to start naming.
Three guys, one hammer.
Let's list all the
classics.
List all the horrible videos.
Do
yeah,
the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, fucking Bane Olympics.
Funky Town.
All the Bane.
Wait, what was that one? Funky Town?
Funky Town? Don't you don't want to know. Chambers knows.
Oh, no.
Chambers, you know what that is?
These are just like, these are videos that I haven't thought about in like 8 years. So yeah. I've heard about Funky Town. There's a, did you have the gummy bear video at your high school?
No.
Okay.
Chambers like was so shit.
You're fucking corrupted, Chambers.
Dang. Okay, this is gonna be.
Yeah. So raise the age.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, all of us should be online less is the overall arching theme, right? I mean, sure. We don't like Ron DeSantis, and all of us should disconnect.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
What if we had? Sorry. What if we had a curfew, a social media curfew, where just like the servers shut down at 8:30 or something?
That would fucking rock.
They would never do that.
That'd be so crazy, bro. Yeah.
Like, the world would fall apart. Zones.
Yeah. The people would riot. Like it would be it'd be insane. Like people would be in front of City Hall as soon as 8 o'clock hit because they would have nothing to do. Like no one would know like how the games went. Like no one would know like who struck out. I'm trying to throw more baseball. Right? Like, no one would know anything. It just no news would get done. Yeah. Be terrible. I got one for y'all. Got a headline for you. Actually, right. Bring this back to video games real quick. 4 days after launching Call of Duty Warzone Mobile, it has generated $1.4 million, 47% of which was spent by the U.S.
Dang, we love
Call who's of playing Duty. That shit.
Oh, wait, excuse me. 47% of the shooter's lifetime spending is the U.S. So a little bit longer than that. Dude, a lot of people are playing it. It's huge. I saw a clip on TikTok of a guy playing it on mobile, but he just hooked it up to like his monitor on his computer and a controller.
Oh,
so he was just no longer mobile?
He was just playing like Warzone. It was
no longer mobile.
And he was cracked. He was killing everybody. It was just like, wow. He had
a computer mouse hooked up to it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, insanely popular franchise. It's Call of Duty. It's Warzone, which has been huge basically since 2020. And, you know, what's interesting is if you think about the trajectory of, like, PUBG was, like, a pretty big game, and then PUBG Mobile is now the bigger, longer-lasting iteration of PUBG that's still played today. Mobile gaming, I mean, I know we'd like to, like, kind of laugh at it, but it is massive, especially I think what we have to always understand is in emerging markets, it's very big. In fact, Chile was the second largest spender of PUBG, or of Warzone Mobile, accounting for 9% of the game's revenue in those 4 days.
Chile?
And a lot of mobile gaming, you know, like, PUBG is really big in India, for instance. It's really big in, like, Venezuela or the Philippines, Mexico, like, too. In a lot of, yeah, Mexico, like, in places where their hardware has more limitations and they might just have their phone as their gaming device. So do we think, are you guys playing Call of Duty Warzone Mobile? That's my question to you.
Only to get some easy dubs.
Call of Duty game in so long.
Okay, so no.
This is not the demographic.
This is not the demographic.
I won't lie, I have the current COD installed on my computer.
Matt does too. I don't know why he's not saying anything.
I don't play it.
Okay.
I play it with my homies. I
like playing with my home. I don't know. The new COD was fun for like
2 days.
A week. It was like a week for me. Like, I don't know. Because when it released, I mean, it's literally, I think they might have added since release, but on release, it's literally just Modern Warfare, like OG Modern Warfare 2 maps, the one that came out, you know, in the late 2000s with like the new Call of Duty, you know, guns or whatever. It was actually very lazy, but it worked. I got a
bigger question for you guys, a broader question that this kind of raises, especially since I've been thinking about kind of the mobile market, like emerging markets. We just did a video on NFTs where we talked about a emerging, like an NFT based game that is really popular in emerging markets as well. Are we creating unintentionally sort of a tiered system of like people with great hardware limitations in like the global north sort of having like better, stronger games, like different footprints on certain games, while the global south is sort of going to get like mobile versions of Call of Duty Warzone or PUBG Mobile or like NFT based games where they have to grind endlessly, for instance, where they're popular.
I'm sorry, what's the question in that?
The question is like, are we unintentionally creating a tiered system of video games based on hardware limitations?
I don't think it's like, is Activision or the other companies putting out these mobile games doing that?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't think it's their fault that some countries may not have as much access to certain technology.
No.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding the question.
I'm saying like, are we unintentionally creating this sort of culture where like gamers around the world are going to basically be playing different sets of games? Like, where somebody is playing, like Chambers, go. I think you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, like a different port, basically.
Well, kind of, but like,
yeah. like broke boys are on the mobile version.
Yeah. Well, like okay. The global, like those people in like less economically fortunate countries are going to be playing this game, which is why it's going to be so popular, which is why they made it. Because anybody in America or Japan or Western Europe is going to just have the hardware to play Call of Duty Warzone on their PS5, on their Xbox Series S, whereas the people basically all over the rest of the world are going to have to be playing on their mobile devices, which is why they create a Warzone mobile version with the highest spending coming from Chile very, very quickly. So that's all I'm trying to say is, like, are we creating unintentionally a world where we're playing different software designed for, you know, hardware that works in de facto for the global south and de facto for the global north?
Yeah, no, definitely. There's this dude I saw on Reddit that was from Syria. And dude, all his games were from like early 2000s. Like he was playing like Command and Conquer, Red Alert and shit. And he only had power for like 6 hours a day or some shit like that. So he would just play Command and Conquer like 3 hours in the middle of the day whenever power was available. And if he had Warzone Mobile, you could have been hitting that shit all day. But I don't think this happened intentionally. Like developers didn't seek out to do this, but obviously there's a market there.
And it's just the way they can reach the audience.
Exactly. Yeah. That's just the way the customer base exists. And it is a now like some sort of tiered system, like you're saying, but I don't think that was created with intention or artificially. It will be catered to now, though, I think.
Yeah. I wouldn't even call it, like, I don't know, like a tiered system. Like, I don't think anyone created it. It's just like kind
of. No, I never said anyone created it. I'm saying this is.
It just happened organically.
The result is that different people of the world are basically
playing
limited.
Different versions of the same game.
Limited to play certain versions of games versus the other portions of the world.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Which is something that we don't think about, but it's interesting how it's like very prevalent now. Like one of the biggest, most streamed games in the world is PUBG, but no one in America plays it because we don't play mobile games. Like that's interesting to me. Yeah. I think that's something to kind of think about.
Or you know how like, let's say like we have the Toyota Corolla here, but if you drive the Corolla in like India, that shit is going to like murder you if you get in an accident. What if they're giving like half-assed, like say Elden Ring's too expensive to sell in Venezuela, so they create like a shittier version of Elden Ring for third world countries.
I'm confused about the Toyota Corolla analogy. If you drive it in India, you'll die.
No. I'm saying auto manufacturers will create different products for different countries because we have higher safety regulations here. And people demand like safer cars, and we're America's rich. Whereas if you go to a country with like poorer people and less restrictions, they're going to give cheaper cars. Which
is that a thing? The same model year Corolla will be have less safety features than the one in America.
Correct. Yes, that's often why
that's fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's why cars are so cheap in other countries because they don't have the same standards that we do. Dang. But
okay, so that's why you said don't buy a Toyota
now
Corolla
it makes
from
sense.
India.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't.
It just doesn't have airbags in it. Is that what you're saying, Chamber?
There's a lot of shit like that. Yeah, or like I've seen instances of cars sold in like really hot climates where there's not even heaters installed in the cars because it never gets below like 80 degrees there. So there'd be no point to have a heater.
Dang.
Yeah. So I would not like there's already developers who create versions of games, say for like China, because of how censored they are.
Right.
I wonder if versions of games could be created like maybe because like we're wealthy, they could milk more money out of us. So content is created differently for us than for less developed country.
There was a really interesting thing, and I'll have to pull it up and we can move on. But like in the 90s, there was an instance in Brazil where like the Super Nintendo was widely available in Brazil at the time, but the PlayStation 1 was not. And a game was created for PlayStation 1, and it was retroactively like kind of ported to a lower tiered system, and it was available to people in Brazil. So like, I forget what the game was specifically, but we have seen instances where like game developers have actually had to port to either like a lower like hardware system in order to make the game more accessible because the install base was higher for the lower tiered like hardware system. And those have like become rare games. Those have become like kind of treasured games that are really hard to come by that collectors really want. I'll find the game specifically, but we can move on.
I can go next.
Run it.
All right. So it's kind of the elephant in the room. I think we've all been kind of talking about this. Yeah, it's time to talk about this. All right. So before, I just want to clear the air, all right? So just want to make sure everybody understands this. Shohei Ohtani did not do that shit. He did not do that shit. There's no way he did that shit. I've been in an Instagram comment warrior. Hey, Abel, hold on.
Catch up the people that might not.
Sorry.
Not everybody knows ball like you, bro.
I'm getting hot already. All right. So, I don't even know where to start. So pretty much,
who is Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani is the greatest baseball player we've ever seen. He pitches and hits. The Dodgers just signed him a 10-year, $700 million contract. This past December, the Dodgers played the San Diego Padres in Korea last week for the first two regular season games of the season.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Really big deal. And before the first game, or I want to say, I can't remember the timeline exactly, but I think it was either right before the first game or right after the first game, it came out that his interpreter, Ippei Mizuhara, had somehow taken money from Shohei Ohtani's bank account and got himself into a gambling hole, a sports gambling hole, of $4.5 million. And ever since then, speculation's been running rampant. The Dodgers actually fired the interpreter, like, pretty much immediately. There was an article that came out. I guess Ippei had gotten to ESPN before Ohtani's camp could have gotten to ESPN. And he told his side of the story, which was that Shohei Ohtani was just helping him out. And he sent a bookie, you know, installments of, $500,000 to help Ippei get out of this gambling hole. That story got shut down really quickly by Ohtani's camp. Obviously because he'd be implicating Ohtani in that, you know, story. It would mean that Ohtani knew, you know, of the gambling, and him paying the bookie would be illegal because it's an illegal bookie. To me, with everything that we know about Shohei Ohtani, you know, this is a guy who, you know, his first 7 years in the league, he took the league minimum pretty much. And he actually entrusted his entire salary to both of his parents, and they really handled his financials. He would not go out with the team if alcohol was involved. He would
teammates.
Oh, what yeah, a he would not weenie, go out with his teammates bro. If
alcohol was
what?
Involved.
Wait,
all man. He cared about was ball. That's the only thing he cared about. He does not care about other sports. He's not paying attention to other sports. He just cares about baseball.
He sounds like no fun.
Has he seen a psychiatrist?
No, yeah, he's all business.
Thank you, Mickey. And Mickey knows that he's an Angel fan.
Ohtani is all business.
Oh, yeah, Mickey's a former Ohtani fan.
I'm asking this seriously. Is he like, do you think he's on the spectrum?
No.
Honestly, anything's on the table at this point.
Okay. Right. I think it's on the table.
No, but I think he has that same drive that, like, I was going to say Michael Jordan, but that's a horrible comparison because Michael Jordan actually is a crazy gambler. But
Ronaldo, you're going to say Tom Brady?
Ronaldo, Tom Brady, like these guys are insane. LeBron. Like all they care about is the sport that they're
LeBron drinks wine, though.
Leading.
Yeah.
LeBron, yeah. There's just so many tight ends that LeBron can tell us about.
Hashtag kid from Akron.
Yeah, kid from Akron. Well, yeah, I rest my case. Ohtani's innocent.
Yeah. I believe he's innocent too. I do have a question for Chambers that I want to lob over there. Chambers, okay. Are you lying about going to UCR as well?
What? I went.
So Ippei, the interpreter.
He said he went to UCR?
He graduated from UCR. He's actually from Diamond Bar.
No way.
Which is crazy.
What?
He's from Diamond Bar, California.
I thought this fool was from Japan or something.
No.
He was born there.
He was born in Japan, and then his family moved over to Diamond Bar when he was really young. So he grew up speaking Japanese. Diamond Bar is very nice, by the way, for anybody listening to this podcast. It's a very, very affluent Los Angeles suburb.
Good food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And okay, Ipe is from Diamond Bar. He went to Diamond Bar High School. Okay. And he, I was reading his Wikipedia page last week when this news broke. He went to UCR, UC Riverside.
No way. Which is also where Chambers went. And
it turns out that was fabricated. Turns out he lied about that.
What?
He,
like, yeah, I was going to say, resume. I didn't see that fool on campus.
And the highest comment I saw was just like, damn, this fool had to lie about going to a school and he chose UCR.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, right. So I immediately thought of Chambers.
Bro, the acceptance rate is, I want to say it's like over 50%. I think it's like 60%. I don't know why I that fool in. Made that one. Hell, that fuck yeah. Yeah, it was my second choice school I got in. UCLA rejected me, but
almost 70%.
Almost 70%. Yeah, sorry. The last thing I looked at was their grad program, and that was 60%. But
oh, okay,
yeah.
Oh, you're thinking about going to grad school at UCR?
No, not at UCR.
Okay.
I'm not running that
well,
back.
Well, anyway,
but
I just think it's hilarious that he, funny as he lied about going to UCR. Honestly, it makes sense because it's like, no one would check that. It's like, okay, sure. Like,
yeah, like no one checks that shit. No
well,
one
if he said like, oh, I graduated did. From Harvard. It's like, yeah, that would have been checked. But UCR,
no, I don't
so
think so.
Key.
I don't even think so. I,
nah,
I don't think
they
would have.
Nah, they would have. They would have background checked if someone graduated.
Have you guys ever been asked to show your diploma for anything?
Never, never, ever, ever, ever.
I never graduated.
It's very common in the medical field because you have to do like really extensive background checks.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, really? If you're in like the medical field, or you're an engineer, or something,
I guess
where
it depends on the field.
It's required.
Yeah.
Dude, it's insane. I could be talking for those for context. I work in healthcare staffing. Like, we could be working with like a 70 like year old CNA, and then I'm like, oh, I need your high school diploma.
Like,
what?
Yeah. I don't have that shit.
Every hospital has different standards, but like that can be a real conversation you have.
Wow.
Damn. Yeah. I don't know. If someone asked her for a high school diploma,
yeah, I gotta find.
I would.
I'd be like, Mom, yeah, where's
I
it?
I actually have mine in my closet. I know exactly where it is.
Hell yeah.
Damn. Wow. Mickey keeps that.
All right. So
on go Mustangs. Ah.
Otani didn't do that shit. All right. Yeah. I think we're all in agreeance.
Yeah, I agree.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, why?
I've been.
Why are you so sure?
All fucking day on Instagram, on Reddit. I don't have Twitter, so I'm not on Twitter.
I'm okay. We were talking about this. Me and Abel were texting about this earlier as
well.
Yeah. Otani probably did not bet on sports games. Like 99% sure that he did not. He like doesn't really care about money that much. He does not. It's on record that he doesn't care or watch other sports. Not really. Although he does like appreciate athletics and athletes and stuff like that. Like he does meet and greets and, you know, he's a superstar. So he does all that kind of stuff too, but he's not out here like going courtside for like a Lakers like championship game or anything. Like he's like never been that kind of person. Right. The other thing too, is that, yeah, his finances have always been handled by his parents. So the only sus thing that I have like with this whole story, Abel, is that his interpreter allegedly had access to his bank account. Which is crazy because if you're Otani's probably not handling his own money. He probably either has his parents do that or his parents probably pay someone to do that. And anybody in their right mind would either give Ipe a company card or a special business account or have it tied to like some kind of entity that's not literally Shohei Ohtani's bank account, which it was. Like he had access to it somehow. So I think Ohtani. I think Ohtani. Like knew what was going on and he has to act like he didn't. That's kind of what I believe. I don't think he's betting, but he has to like basically say, I didn't pay anything. He stole the money from me.
Of course.
Wasn't prepared to pay any bookies or anything. Yeah. But I do think that Otani probably did want to cover his friend's ass and pay his debts because he's a good guy. And you know, him and Ipe apparently are really good friends. Or were good friends.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I'm on board with that, but I think there's a lot of like those two were joined at the hip and they were extremely, extremely close. So like I know the whole like, oh yeah, it's from Shohei's bank account, kinda that is honestly insane. But at this point, like Otani's such a strange person that I don't put it past him that he would give his apparently best friend, you know, his bank information.
Would any now, of you guys give me your bank account?
No, of course not.
Absolutely not.
Of course not. But this is his business partner. This is like his confidant. Like this is his dude. I know it's strange, but I honestly don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility. I'm a Shohei stan. So, I don't think he did shit wrong, honestly.
So the main debate is whether or not he knew this money was being used for like gambling.
Well, right? No, because the main debate is, people believe that Shohei Ohtani was the one gambling.
Placing sports bets.
Those are just dumb people saying that. I don't know that.
I'm assuming as long as he wasn't betting on games or a sport he was involved in, is there like any, I mean, obviously like using a, you know, bookies.
He was using an illegal bookie though, is the thing. He would have allegedly been using an illegal bookie.
Man, just use Prize Picks.
Dude, did you guys see that there was like an NBA player that got in trouble for Prize Picks today?
Yes.
He's not playing right now.
Yeah, Porter or something?
Something, I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that.
He was betting on himself and there was just like anomalies.
He was just betting the under on himself and just getting taken out of games. Dude,
that's so hilarious.
Yeah, he's fucked. Yeah, it's getting pretty bad. I mean, the sports betting is getting pretty out of control.
It's really bad.
Which is why I think that this story has a whole lot of legs, because it's like, okay, here's the perfect convergence for the media. Like, darling superstar, 100-year, like, in a generation, like, 100, what do you
once
call
in
it?
Generation.
Once
in a generation.
It's bigger than once in a generation. It's like once in 100 years type of player.
Yeah,
like,
you get this type of player once in a century.
Yeah, like Shohei Ohtani, right? And then sports betting and like athletes getting in trouble for sports betting and the prevalence of it. And we see 25% of the commercials we see on sporting events are betting commercials for all that stuff. And it's like, okay, cool. We got him. Like there's all the puzzle pieces. Shohei Ohtani's betting on games, and like all of the memes and like all the like comments are just like, oh, like a picture of Ohtani like stressing in the dugout. And it's like, oh, my man sweating a 6-leg parlay on like, on the NCAA
the most common jokes on Twitter.
I've
seen those. Those are pretty funny.
Those are all funny, you know. I'm not gonna lie, they're kind of funny, but it's like, but they're based on the assumption that like everyone sports bets because we all sports bet, you know what I mean? Like, we're assigning our own, like, we're projecting onto Ohtani is what it is, because like all the people commenting are probably people that have also sweat 6-leg parlays, which probably wasn't even really a phrase 6 years ago. You know, so it's just this perfect convergence of in the pop culture, the way we feel about sports betting, and in the pop culture, what a superstar this guy is, who's also happened to be scandal free. So the media can run with this story for as long as they want to run with it, and the memes will keep coming too.
I think I'm in agreement with Lucas's take on this, that he knew exactly what was happening and now he just has to play dumb. I think you're not giving him enough credit, Abel. I think he knew exactly what was happening.
He had to have known, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I stand on business. Let's wait till we know all the facts.
Yeah.
There was some reporting coming out of Korea that said that this guy had access to his bank account while Shohei was recovering from his surgery last year. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but
okay,
we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see.
Okay. Yeah. We got to do our own research too.
Does this change your opinion on Ohtani no matter how this lands? Or if... Do you care if he knew or he didn't know, or you're just
in the juice? Because at the end of the day, he was just helping his friend. If he did know, then he was just helping his friend out. Like, yeah. He wasn't actually betting on games.
Yeah. Also, you don't like Ohtani the last couple of years. There's no way he was betting. Like, when athletes bet, they're betting like unders on their own games so they could affect the outcome and then cash out. Ohtani just had the most insane 2 years that any baseball player has ever had. He's like one MVP. He like set record. He's insane. So like the you can't really claim that he was betting on games that he was in the last couple years, because he wouldn't be MVP if that was the case. Like you can't bet. He's not betting all of his overs and then hoping to God.
Nah, bro. He's
like
built different. He knew he was hitting.
That is true.
Like the NBA player that just got in trouble. I don't know if you can Google who it is, but he was betting his unders coming into the game for 3 minutes and then getting pulled out because he said that he was hurt. Like that's obvious awesome, as shit. Dude. Like that's it's awesome. It's easy to see because like the money lines that get paid out that night, the highest money lines are his unders. So it's like very clear, like DraftKings, like all these big guys, they have their finger on the pulse to see if anyone's fixing anything or betting on themselves, because the results get lopsided. So there's no way that Ohtani was betting on his own games.
Completely unrelated. I saw something on Twitter where some guy won like $1,500 through FanDuel, or like one of the sporting bets. And then, anyways, he won like $1,500 or something, and then I forget how, but somehow the company caught wind that he hasn't paid his child support. So they said, "Oh, we're just sending all of your child support money to like your baby mama or whatever."
Okay, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
It's Jontay Porter from the Raptors.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He's not playing.
Well, All I know is if I had this much money, I would encourage all my friends to gamble more. I'd give everyone $1 million budget monthly. And the only requirement is that you spend at least 10 minutes with me at the High Limit Blackjack table. 10K minimum hands.
Love it. Love it. All right. Who's got the next one? Mickey or Chambers? What you guys got?
I want to like close
Mickey's
off
about to
the
cook. I can tell
conversation yeah. with like the likelihood that like Ohtani actually did do the gambling. Like there was another conspiracy out that Ohtani is gay before this past offseason. Oh, that
yeah. mostly
he
like
got, bro, mostly I from
that,
us.
I was gonna say, I thought that started with us.
I saw quite a bit of it on the internet too. But okay, then, like, cool.
Still could be.
And then he announced that he got married this past off season
to a woman.
Yeah, yeah. To a woman. Okay. Was she a softball player, volleyball
basketball.
Player?
Basketball.
Oh, basketball. Yes. That's what it is. But it's still more likely that him being gay is true than him being the one betting here.
That's how confident
I feel that he is not betting.
Dang. I saw one crazy conspiracy theory because he had a press conference today and he has a new translator too. And like he basically just said he denied everything. He said, I have never bet on a game. eBay stole money from me, blah, blah, blah. And one of the comments was just like, damn, how do we even know he's saying that, though? The crazy conspiracy theory is that, like, no one knows what he's ever said.
Yeah, I think that's the funniest joke. The funniest joke I saw throughout this whole, like, fucking scandal was, like, it was, like, the translator pretty much saying, like, it was like Shohei telling his translator, this guy is stealing money from me. Please help me. Please help me. And then the translator's like, I just want to thank the fans. And, you know.
That's pretty good, bro.
It's like, I told him, don't worry.
Yeah, I can get behind that conspiracy theory because that's funny.
One interesting part about his press conference is that he did, like, one of the specifics he did give was that he found out after game one of opening week last week. So, like, That can be an inconsistency they find. Like, if he's lying about it, that would be, like, one of the first places they'd look. Like, oh, did he actually know beforehand that this was happening?
Yeah.
Damn, the Angels beat the Dodgers 6-0 today. What the fuck?
Practice game.
It's still spring training.
Spring training.
Back on spring training? We had a season opener, though.
It's spring training. So the freeway series is just
the freeway series game. Is like right before.
Yeah. Oh. Day.
Just tune-up games.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Well.
And they're not played in Arizona. They're played in their actual stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, MLB. Yes. Chambers, what's the headline? What do you got?
Okay. I don't know how many of you will care because I don't think any of you play this game. Or series of games, but Mass Effect 5 is being made, and
I didn't know this.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys remember when Mass Effect Andromeda was released, but nobody liked it. It was everything that we say about like Bethesda. It was even worse with that game. But they're getting the band back together. All the original like game director, creative director, art director. EP of the original trilogy, which everybody loves, will also be they'll all have those same roles on Mass Effect 5. So this is probably going to be a really fucking sick game because the Mass Effect trilogy is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I know you're a big Mass Effect guy.
Yeah.
That's another major blind spot for me. I haven't played any Mass Effect.
Yeah, when we talk about like...
I know
my sister loves them. That's like one of her favorite game series.
Yeah, so. When talking about like great open world games, this whole trilogy is one of those. So I foresee Mass Effect 5 being the next goated open world RPG.
When's your projection of its release?
I don't fucking know, dude. I just read.
They just announced.
It was just a tweet, bro. Yeah.
I'm saying, what's your guess? That was
2030.
Mass Effect. Yeah, it's a AAA game, so I wouldn't suspect it releasing to like for another 4 years or something. It's gonna be a while.
We'll check it out. We'll play it for the pod.
Mass Effect 5.
We'll play it for the pod when it comes out for sure.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Very excited. What else, Mickey? Or Mickey, you didn't need to use your headline. You just talked about Otani a little bit.
I didn't exactly have a headline.
Okay, I just got one thing then. I didn't want to. It's mostly targeted at Matt, but I want you guys to comment on it a little bit. Matt, did you know that a month ago, Spec Ops: The Line was officially taken off of Steam?
I saw that. I thought I heard it was like a mistake or something.
No, you can't buy it. The licensing ran out for the partners that were running it with 2K.
Yeah, I remember reading that.
For those of you that don't know, this is you guys and just the general audience. Matt and I did Spec Ops: The Line really early on in the podcast, within the first few months. You know, it's
honestly one of the best.
Honestly, one of the best games that we've done. Is that what you're gonna say?
Well, because I was talking with my partner saying the pod came up and she asked what my favorite pod episode we've done. I was like, honestly, I asked her. She's like, I'm like, it was Spec Ops: The Line. I'm like, that's the best episode we've ever done.
Yeah, you love that episode.
I was like, we were both cooking. Like,
yeah, it was a good one.
Just a really good episode.
Does this take place in Dubai? Where
it does? It does.
It's like a future, not futuristic, like an alternate, like Dubai kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a super. And you know, this is a general broad conversation I wanted to talk about, which is you know, Lost Media. This is officially Lost Media. Matt, you and I have the game on Steam, so we can play it. Yep. We can re-download it and stuff. But nobody could purchase this game anymore. So it's essentially cannot be bought unless you have like a hard copy somewhere. And even then you have to have like an Xbox 360 and like a CRT TV, all that stuff. So this game is going to be increasingly hard to play, which is a shame because like Matt said, it was an amazing, amazing game. It was a third person kind of military shooter. It is super like generic looking on the surface. It's just like, you know, beefy American dudes go into Dubai and try and like help and fight like the insurgents. It's just people yelling at you in another language. It's like explosions. It's active cover like Gears of War. It's just a very typical military shooter. But it's ultimately at its core about the main character sort of losing his mind at the sight of war. It's about decision making. Matt, what? Help me out here, buddy.
Yeah. You know, like Lucas was saying, it's like a very basic, like, it's like, what year did the game come out? Like 2010 or something. Like
it's like
very,
Medal of Honor, SOCOM. It's like everything
like
that was
Army
out
of Two.
Then.
Like it's like any other third person army shooter you played like in the early like late 2000s, late 2010s, early 2010s.
Rainbow
you know?
Six
it's like very generic. It's not that good, like gameplay wise, but it does a lot of interesting things narratively where you're making decisions that you don't even realize you're making. And the narrative, the way it unfolds is just really, really well done. And you know, it does a very good job of playing. Like, it's almost like a game that you could play like it's like Sixth Sense. Like you play it once and then you could play it again and have a totally different viewing perspective of it.
I'll frame it up this way since we can spoil it now, Matt, now that people can't play it anymore.
Wait.
I will say you can buy it on Amazon right now, the DVD, the PC ROM for $30.
Okay, it's going to go up.
And there's only 10 left.
You also totally can't find a ROM of it on the internet that I definitely did not find right now.
Oh my God, Chambers, stop talking about ROMs on this podcast.
I didn't find it.
Well, I'll talk about just say one thing about the game that I really love, and this is spoiler, so people could skip ahead 1 minute. There is a mission in the game where you start firing like rockets onto like enemies, and it's like a really big climactic part of the game. You're firing rockets, you're blowing people up, all this cool stuff, and then it turns out when you get down there, you're actually killing civilians with white phosphorus bombs. And you have to walk through all the carnage of all the innocent people you killed in the game. Yeah. And you have to slowly walk through it. And like the game forces you to look at it, forces you to see it. It's like one of the craziest moments in a video game. And this was like peak, like military shooter, like post 9/11 American hoorah, like all that stuff. That's like what we lived for at the time. And like this game was criticizing so much of what was wrong with like the military industrial complex, like endless war. Like PTSD, it touches on all that. It's really, really amazing.
Really well done.
So anyway, just wanted to talk about shout out that game. Very sad that it's unavailable for purchase, but Matt and I could still play it. So that's nice.
Fun fact, our best ever YouTube video still to this day is a Spec Ops: The Line a clip from that podcast episode where we talk about the loading screens. So.
Oh yeah.
It's
oh,
almost Matt, at 10K now.
How could people like engage with us outside the podcast? Do we have a YouTube channel, right? Like people can go to that and stuff and just like comment, like the videos.
We have a really lovely YouTube channel. If you want to find the YouTube channel, you can go to our website, thanksforplaying.live. From there, you can very easily find links to all of our social medias as well as our YouTube. And you can find our written content up there as well as Abel's MLB The Show article. Shout out. If you want to go straight to our social media handles before DeSantis bans it in your area, you can go to either TikTok, Instagram, or Twitter. And the link tree in any of the social media handles will take you to our website, our YouTube, or our Discord. Discord is the best place to reach myself, Lucas, Hot Mickey, Chambers, and Abel. Coming out, it's a great time. Or you can shoot us an email at thanksforplayingpod@gmail.com. And Abel, if the people want to stay up to date with you, where is the best place to find you on the internet?
Yeah, for me, I think I would just say Instagram. My handle is mcfried. That'll be mceefried. If you want to know why that's my username, you can shoot me a DM. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
I might DM you. I don't even know. Yeah,
I think Lucas knows. No, Lucas knows.
I do know. That's been your tag since Dragon Ball FighterZ, the greatest Dragon Ball fighting game of all time.
Yeah, that's right.
Last thing I'd like to mention is I'm really upset. I lost my fantasy playoff round by 0.5 points.
Oh, yes.
And I was talking shit, and I just feel like a fucking idiot.
is this basketball?
Yeah, it's a basketball TFP.
Damn, I haven't been paying attention at all.
I'm playing Lucas this week, actually.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I'm a little stressed because I checked my lineup and, like, they're all gone.
It's
they're the dying.
Toilet bowl. It's like we're playing.
I know, but I don't want to be last.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be last either. Dude, what's our punishment? I don't even know what our punishment
is. I don't know
if there is none. I think I'm last, so there is none.
Okay, well, we have to ask the commish. Who's commish? Hylett?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think we ever agreed to one, though, which would be.
Yeah, I don't think he has agreed to a punishment, so kind of why to do it now.
Yeah.
Well, our football.
I only want a punishment if I don't lose. Yeah. You have to play a game? Didn't someone pick a game for you?
Well, Mickey is the commissioner of our TFP football league, and he did not enforce the punishment.
I didn't enforce the punishment because the winner didn't really care to give the punishment to someone he didn't even know.
That's valid.
Mickey, if I would have won. Here's what you need to do. Lucas needs to play Resident Evil 2, the remake, and then me and him can have a podcast about it.
I'm down.
Why do I need to enforce this?
Because you're the commish.
Use your commissioner powers.
Use your commissioner powers.
Hey, how about this? I'll play that game. How about that? No commissioner thing needed. We gotta keep our Resident Evil series going.
There is one thing before we leave that I wanted to discuss real quick. I don't think it's going to take as long as Otani. But Kendrick Lamar dissed Drake over the weekend. I don't know if you guys saw that.
This shit was awesome.
I did see that.
Yeah. Drake leaving the restaurant with his headphones in.
And Drake still has yet to say anything. Not really saying anything about this because he got fucked up.
Chambers, what do you think of that?
Do we know what the content was of that?
They're both washed.
No. Okay. Just Kendrick released a track with Future and Metro Boomin.
Who are like that, right?
That song's pretty fire, actually.
Yeah, it's fucking fire.
Yeah, that shit's good.
Did he go after J. Cole too?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
J. Cole caught some strays.
I think J. Cole recently called Drake. J. Cole and Kendrick,
the big three.
I think J. Cole said that. Kendrick on the new song that just came out like a few days ago, he said, fuck the big three, it's just me or something. Mm-hmm. So he basically just said, like, these fools are uncomparable to me.
You said Cole said the big three thing?
J. Cole said it. So J. Cole and Drake have a song from 2023 called First Person Shooter. And in one of the lines in the song is like, oh, you know, I love when they talk about who the GOAT. It's either me, Aubrey, or K-Dot or whatever.
J. Cole is the littlest of those three.
I know.
J. Cole is so...
Mid-Cole, yeah. He sucks. Yeah. But, my favorite Kendrick line from this verse, honestly, is I'm just going to read it here. For all your dogs are getting buried, Drake's last album is called For All the Dogs. So for all your dogs getting buried... That's a K with all these nines. He's going to see Pet Cemetery. That's how he finishes the verse. Super hard. Incredible song.
Damn. I'm so glad he brought me back into toxic. We're not nerds anymore. We're cool. We're talking about hip-hop on this podcast. Fuck yeah. Dude.
Yeah, this is awesome.
I didn't even catch that bar, actually, when I listened to the song over the weekend.
Yeah, I'm listening to it right now.
Yeah, I will. It's honestly just a sick party song, too. Like,
it's a banger, bro.
If I heard that, like, at... at like a kickback or something, it's like, yeah. It's
fight. I'd fight someone.
Yeah, I would fight someone. I'd fight. Yeah, yeah. That's
on
what
Kendra's
I
mean. Behalf.
Damn. I think we could wrap it up, Matt.
I think so. All right, everyone. This is Ben. Thanks for playing. Catch you next time.
Skibbity-bop.